Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger. Welcome to our YPC Insights to the Daf series, where we take a topic on the Daf of Shavua and discuss it a little more in depth. This week's Daf is Maseches Sota, Daf Yud Ches, and our topic is Growing from the Dirt 2.0. Shockingly, our Gemara goes back to the topic of Agata once again. This time, it does have more to do with the actual Sota procedure, but there still is a Mida Kenek and Mida component to it, loosely as well. The Gemara in Daf Yud Ches reads the following. Darish Rava, Rava says, Bishar she'omer Avram Avinu v'anochi afar va'efer. In reward from Avram Avinu's statement where he says, I am ash, dust and ashes. Zachu v'anav l'shtein mitzvos. His children merited having two mitzvos that are fulfilled with dust and dirt. And they are, Efer para, the ashes of the para aduma, the offer sota, and the dust that is put into the sota's drink. These psukim come from Avram's negotiations with Hashem about Sodom, and some the tone of Avram's mindsets in this endeavor. He tells Hashem, I'm not coming from a side of power or from a right of entitlement, but just the opposite. I'm like ashes and dust, and I beg you to spare the lives of these people because they are people. Rashi adds, though, that Avram wasn't just talking about and saying, I'm dust and I'm lowly and I'm a nothing. That actually reminds me of an old joke that they say regarding the high holidays where the rabbi was in the middle of his sermon, and in the middle of the sermon he stops and says, oh, I'm so inspired. After hearing the words and listening to these beautiful words, I just have to say, I'm a nothing. And he falls down and bows before the Aron Kodesh. The cantor who's sitting up there on the podium with the rabbi stands up and says, me also, I'm also a nothing. And he bows down to the ground, and everybody in the congregation is murmuring and impressed. The shul president, who was also sitting up there on the dais, stands up there and says, I'm also nothing. And he bows down. Two people in the back, Harry and Murray, are sitting there. And Harry goes to Murray and says, who does this guy think he is to say he's a nothing? That's the old joke that they say about in shul. There is something a little bit more deep, though, to Avram saying, I'm like dust and ashes, which means I'm nothing. Rashi says there's more to it. And Rashi says, Kivar hayisi roilios afar al yedei malachim. Really? I should have become dust because the kings, the war of the kings, through the kings, after all, they wanted Avram to be killed and buried in the dust. Ve'efer, and ashes, I could have come ashes al yedei Nimrod, when Nimrod threw me into the fiery furnace. Why didn't I, in that situation where I took on four powerhouse kings all by myself? Or why didn't I turn into ashes when I was thrown in to the kiln, to the fiery furnace? Rashi continues and says, Luli rachamecha or sharam duli. Had it not been for your mercy that stood for me, I would have turned into dust. I would have turned into ashes. Instead, you spared my life in two different ways. And because you spared my life, I shouldn't have the chutzpah to demand of anything for you. Rather, I should do whatever you say and not even question. However, I have no choice but to stick up for the tzaddikim of Sodom, because chalilacha mi'asos kadavar hazeh la'amis tzaddikim rasha ba'yaka tzaddika rasha. Chalilacha shofei kol aretz lo yaseh mishpat. These are the words that Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's with this backdrop we can give in view Rav's statement, which says, B'schar she'amar Avram Avinu v'yanochi afar va'efer. The reward that Avram Avinu said, I am ashes and dust, meaning I should have become ashes and dust, but you saved my life. And yet, I'm still going to humble myself. And I am humbling myself when I'm asking for this request. Nonetheless, Zachu v'anav l'shtei mitzvos, his children merited to have two mitzvos, Efer para, the ashes of the para duma of Afer Sota. So Avram's humility gave us these two mitzvos. The question what can ask, though, is, we know in Chazal, we say, Istakel b'raisu v'ara alma. We know the Gemara tells us that the creation of the Torah preceded the creation of the world, and that the mitzvos that were written in it before the Torah were given. Besides, if there was no Avram, would we really think there's no process of Tahara from Tumas Meis? Would there be no situation where a woman who's suspected of adultery can find her way back into her husband's graces and become Mutter Tahar? Because again, this is not just a question of repairing a relationship. Sota is a Dover Sheba Erva. It changes their status. You have somebody who at one point was Mutter Le'ishto before the Eidei Pinui and Stira came. And now you have somebody who's Asur Le'baila. Now you have somebody who's completely forbidden to her husband. So therefore, You're telling me that had it not been for Avram Avinu, we wouldn't have had these opportunities? Can't be that way. So what I want to do is to present two different approaches by the Achronim, one by the Marsha, not in our Gemara, but in Maseches Chulin, and one by a Sefer called the Toras Chaim, each with a little different perspective, but tremendous amount of insight that we can gain from this small Gemara, speaking about a small little lowly item such as dirt and ashes. The words of the Marsha, which are actually found in Maseches Chulin Daf, Pevav Mabez, which is, again, speaking about this, and actually, I believe the Gemara there addresses a different question about why doesn't we mention Kisui Hadam, because Kisui Hadam is also mentioned there, and that's a technicality because Kisui Hadam is not, they say, not part of the mitzvah, it's like a Hechsher mitzvah. We're not going to get into that topic right now. But let's see what the Marsha tells us. The Marsha tells us that it's not that there wouldn't have been a concept of Tahara by Mace or a way to be Mati Risota, but rather, the process would have been more elaborate. In other words, it would have been much more difficult to find a way to facilitate the process. We'd have to use items that are much more hard to come by. Comes Avraham, and by saying, V'anochi, Afar Va'efer, we're telling you that no. How do you achieve Tahara from Tumas Mace? Use ashes. How do you go ahead and achieve a heter for a woman to go back to her husband? Use dirt. Here are the words of the Marsha. The Efshel Lefarish, it's possible to explain. The Elav Bishar Avravinu, had it not been for the reward of Avraham, Hayah Hechsher Taharas Telme Meis Be'in Yonim Rechokim. There would have been a way to achieve purity when somebody's a Tamei Meis. Except, it would have been through a difficult process. Asher minu asam hayakasha, that the attainment would be difficult. Yet, bis amnam, in truth, however, bishar should be an Avram is atzmo, when the Avram denigrated himself a little bit, humbled himself, sha'amar, and he said, v'enochi afar v'efer, zochu liyos hechsher v'hazos tarasam v'inyonim asher kalim b'tziyosam. So then, the procedure to go ahead and correct oneself, and to sprinkle the ashes, is something much easier. To sprinkle oneself is much easier with dust and ashes, again, things that are very readily attainable. Now, there is a kasha you can ask on the Marsha. And the kasha that you ask on the Marsha, that practically, paraduma is very, very hard to obtain. And how do we know that? Because I believe Chazal tell us that there have only been nine actual paradumas that have been in circulation in history. And the 10th one being the time of Mashiach, plus, you know, in order for a paraduma to become a paraduma, it's got to be a certain age, I believe it's got to be 3 years old, and having two hairs of any other color are going to completely ruin it. In fact, there's a very well-known story in Maseches Kedushin, which speaks about the non-Jewish man named Don Ben Nesina. Don Ben Nesina was somebody who actually had procured a stone to be used for the Choshen, and after they negotiated the price, they came to him, and they said, we're here to pick it up. And he said, I'm sorry, you can't have it. So they thought that maybe he was going back on his negotiations, and they offered more. They said, still, you can't have it. And when they got to a price that they couldn't pay anymore, they left in exasperation, saying, I can't believe it. This person went ahead and just went back totally on his deal. Much to their surprise, he comes out running after them shortly afterwards and says, here, go ahead and take it back for the original price. And now they thought there was something really crazy going on. First, they thought he was just money hungry. Now they thought he was a complete lunatic. Here he goes ahead and holds out for all this money, seemingly, and then doesn't take their deal. And then at the end, he goes ahead and runs back and says, you can have the original price. So, of course, he tells the story, and he tells them that the issue is that they keep the stone locked up for, obviously, for safety purposes, for security purposes. And what happened is his father has the key. His father put the key under his pillow and he took a nap and he couldn't go ahead and wake up his father. So what happened? And once his father woke up, that's when he said, I was going to go ahead and give you back the stone. And because, again, I wasn't really wanting to take any more money, I'm not going to take any more money. And Chazal say that, you know, for him turning down all that extra money that he could have very easily had, he was rewarded by having a para duma born into his flock, and obviously he made quite a windfall on that. So, Now, it's true what the Maharsha says, is that yes, in theory, ashes are something which are very easily attainable, and that would be a credit to Avram Avinu's humility. Nonetheless, to obtain an actual paraduma, that's something very difficult. Which is why we turn to a different answer, an answer to the Toras Chaim is going to bring down, and this answer that the Toras Chaim brings down will not be limited by that question that we asked on the Maharsha. The Toras Chaim has a different approach. He views the concept in a different way. It's not that Afar and Afar are easily attainable. As a paraduma, we know is not. Rather, it's the concept that one could achieve Tahara, become pure, where a person before could not eat Kachim. A person before could not enter the Beis HaMikdash. And now, they can. Where you can go ahead, and if a person who's Tummy Mace enters the Beis HaMikdash as a Chi of Karis, you could remove the Chi of Karis, or a woman who is temporarily Aser because she's suspected as an adulteress, as a Sota, can be go back, can be Zocha to go back to her husband and Matir and Isser. But even more, besides on a legal level, we have the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva says earlier on today's daf, which says, Darish Rabbi Akiva, Isha Isha, when a husband and wife are married, Zochu, if they have Shalom Bayis, Shechina Beinehem, they're Zocha to have the God's presence amongst them. Lo Zochu, if they're not Zocha though, Isha Chaltan, they're to be consumed by fire. How does that work? So, if you go ahead and take out the word, look at the words, Ish, which is the word for a husband, and Isha, which is the word for his wife, you go ahead and see that they share two letters, and they have a third letter each that is not in common. In other words, they both share an Aleph, they both share a Shin, the man has a Yud, the woman has a He. Well, if you take the Yud from the man and you take the He from the woman, you put them together and you spell out one of Hashem's names, Yud Kei. So we're saying like this, that if they're together and there's Shalom, there's a Yud and there's a Hey, there's the Shekhinah is amongst them. But if not, then you just take out the Yud and the Hey, and what are you left with? You're left with a double H, you're left with a double fire. So look at this, you're able to go ahead and use dirt and ashes, two of the lowliest substances in the world, to go ahead and achieve these two things. You can go into the Beis HaMikdash, you can eat Karbanos, and you can have a Shekhinah into your house. Avram's humbling himself allows us to raise ourselves to great heights with things that are lowly. In truth, there is a Midah Keneged Midah aspect here. Avram lowered himself and achieved greatness. Here too, we can achieve greatness with things that are low. Teaching us that this is the way to go. You humble yourself, you're able to go ahead and use so much. And we have to just stop for a second and think. This tremendous gift that we got from Avram Avinu, or we got in Zechus of Avram Avinu, that even something as lowly as dirt and something as lowly as ashes is a way to go ahead and bring us closer to Hashem. Now, not lost on this are the words of Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha said, Mimana Ofer Yaakov, who can count the dirt of Yaakov? That was one of his brachos that he said. And Rashi and Chumash over there explains one of the pshatim, and what this means is, Ofer Yaakov means, Ein cheshbon b'mitzvos shehem mekayimin ba'ofer. You cannot possibly add up or calculate the amount of mitzvos that they fulfill with dirt. As what does it say? It says, Lo sachrish bashor v'chamor, don't plow an ox and a donkey together. Lo sizra kilayim, don't plant kilayim. Efer para, the ashes of a paraduma, v'afer sota v'chayotzi b'hem. Furthermore, this actually goes back to a lesson that we learned with Avram Avinu a number of daf ago, where it says that we learned with the eshel, or the, one pshat says it was a tree, one pshat says it was a hotel. Either way, Avram got people to view Hashem and to see the greatness of Hashem through what? Through simple food, drink, and hospitality. Again, what we're doing is, and the great zechus of Avraham, is that we were given so many opportunities to reach close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's all this case in credit of Avraham. By him humbling himself, we were able to get humility, things that are humble, as ways to get close. And this is such an important thing, as it says in Sefer Kohelet, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, Selokim Yira, Vesmet Sosav Tishmar, Kizeh HaAdam. The final chapter, the final conclusion that Shlomo HaMelech made in Kohelet is, the most important things is, have Yira Shemayim. That's one of the most important things. And how does Rashi explain what that means? Rashi in Kohelet says, Mashatuch HaLasei, do whatever you could, V'lip Kala Shemayim, as long as your intentions are good. This whole concept of being able to elevate whatever we have and use it as a gain, ways to gain closeness to Hashem, This is the lesson, this is this legacy that Avraham Avinu has left us. And it's important for us, especially now before Rosh Hashanah, when we make a cheshbon, and make an account of what we have, to view all the opportunities. There's so many opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. Let's go ahead and just take an opportunity, not only to tell him now to do teshuvah, but also an opportunity to go ahead and use whatever we have, even the smallest thing like a dust and an ashes, to go ahead and elevate ourselves to help us live lives of Kedusha. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.